Okay, so this is going to be my spot. I'm not going to move a lot because I'm not in heaven yet, and I'm really held back by being here. Inside, I can be doing this and running around like Brian does, but you're not going to see that today. You're going to see me stand right here, and it's going to be like I'm playing basketball, and I'm taking that one step. I printed, you may see a lot of paper here, but the font's really big. Last time I did this, I didn't need reading glasses. Now I really do. So let's pray, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're going to do here today, Lord. I thank you for what I've learned in preparing for this. God, I'm anxious for heaven. I don't think about it every day, and Lord, I probably should. You have something wonderful in store for us, and it should be our focus because that's really our home. This is just a temporary place where we're here to serve you and glorify you. Lord God, I pray for Martin and Brian as they're away, that they are resting and being refreshed, and that they'll come back and just bring that to us. Lord Jesus, pray for your leading here. Amen. Okay, so I grew up in a church with pews, and I didn't have children's church. What do we call that? Oasis Kids. So I didn't have that. So what I had was little pieces of paper that I fashioned into all kinds of different airplanes. Always anxious for church to get out, so I'd go out and test them. And the other thing I had was a Bible, and it was a red letter edition. So I would look through it, and I'd look for those places where the most red in a row was, and that's where we're at. We're in the Sermon on the Mount, where it's just red after red after red, page after page. So the other thing I like to look at was parables. The parables were fun little stories, and when you're a kid, you know, they're a lot easier to read than, you know, say, Paul's letters. They're more difficult. So we're going to talk more about the Sermon on the Mount, which Martin has been doing for a while now. For me, it's good to think about where were they at. So they're out there in the hills, not a mountain like we've got, but just kind of rolling hills, grassy hills with great acoustics. There's no jets flying overhead. There's no motorcycles with really loud mufflers on them. It's just quiet, and your voice carries. So Jesus is out there, and he's preaching to his followers. They've come out. And what he's doing in chapter 6 is he's telling them what's different about following him. They've grown up as Jews. They know the Bible. You know, they know the Old Testament. But he's radical. He's changing everything. So in this chapter, it starts with giving to the needy. Well, okay, that's not a new concept, but his concept was do it in a way that nobody knows you're doing it. It's not about what you get from it. You know, the adulation of people. Then he goes into the Lord's Prayer, which Martin is preaching on. I think he's gotten 4 words into it. I asked him this week how far he'd gotten, because the previous week he'd gotten through Our Father. And then he says, well, I got to Who Is. And I'm like, oh, art. Yeah, I know it from Who Art. Then the next little passage is fasting. But we're going to skip that because we're supposed to be at the 19 through 24 in Matthew chapter 6 on stuff, on money, on things. And then after that is worry. And all of these things, Jesus is saying to them, here's what you think you know, here's what you grew up with, here's how you need to start thinking about it now. It's radical change. So for me, when Martin asked me to preach, I thought, well, I'm really busy. I don't really want to do it. But you know what? I need to do this because it's for me, it's about focus. I need to renew my focus. And I know that when I do this, you're forced into it. You have to do the study. You have to get into it. Be ready to talk about it. So I said yes. And then I looked at the passage. I'm like, oh, it's about money. And then I started reading through it and started kind of preparing, like, it's not about money, it's about focus. And then I mentioned that to Fran, and she says, well, yeah, that's what Martin told you to preach on, was focus. So I don't know if it was subliminal or not, but that's where we're at.
Okay, so we're going to look at our verses. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Okay, so there's three distinct sections in this passage. The first one, first passage, clearly it's about stuff, where your heart is, where your treasures are, money, rewards on earth, that sort of thing. The last part, again, it's about money. You got to pick who you're going to serve. And then that middle part, it doesn't seem to fit. But then we'll see how it really just flows perfectly once we get there. Okay, so the first part, you know, it's talking about this passage. When I looked at different preachers, what they had written on it, what they had preached, it's all about giving. Giving, giving, giving. How are we going to change people's mind about giving? But really, it's about focusing on what's important. So your stuff, it comes and goes. How many people have stuff and it breaks, it rots, it happens? You know, I built a deck on our house. Spent a lot of time building that deck. Now one of the boards is rotten. Now I got to spend more time and take that rotten board out, put new boards in, and figure out how not to make that one board rot again. It's time. It's focus. Stuff gets stolen. So Fran and I were on a trip a few months ago, and we were gone for a couple of weeks, and I had intermittent access to internet. And I got an email that from our neighborhood watch that said somebody's garage door was left open, and somebody broke in and took stuff. Well, we've been having trouble with our garage door. If you don't pay attention to it, it can go back up on you, and you don't know about it. So you have to watch it till it's down, watch it for a couple seconds, make sure it doesn't pop back up. So I'm on vacation, can't do anything about it. It's already happened. I don't know. And for me, I'm a worrier. I tend to look at that and go, oh, what about my tools? They're all gone now. This is not good. So I had to, you know, I prayed. I said, God, I can't do anything about this. In the big scheme of things, it's not important. I'm here right now with my wife. We're having a great time. Let's not mess this up by worrying about it. And he took it away from me. I didn't have to worry about it. And as it turned out, it wasn't our garage door. It was somebody else's. But when you have stuff, it takes your attention. Once you have a boat, well, now you got to go out and use the boat. You have a camper, you go out and use your camper, motorcycle. I guess you go ride it, I don't know. Don't really get the whole motorcycle thing. But you have stuff, and it takes your attention. You spend time on it. That's why you got it. You wanted it to do something with it. Well, Jesus wants us to invest our time in people, because people are eternal. When we leave this earth and we go to heaven, if we know Christ, what do we take with us? We take nothing with us. He's even going to give us new clothes. It's all going to be taken care of for us. The only thing that we're going to see in heaven that was here are those other people that we came into contact with and helped build Christ's kingdom, and they're there because of what we did. Now, in this passage, he says, lay it for yourselves treasures in heaven. What are those treasures? It's not expressed distinctly exactly what those are going to be, but he talks about crowns, talks about being given authority and responsibility in heaven, that those who are entrusted with this and they made this out of it, or they were entrusted with this and they made this out of it, or they were entrusted with this and they didn't do anything with it. Well, you're going to get rewards based on that. You're going to get authority and responsibility based on that. So you know, there's the verse about your sins being wiped clean, that they're as far from the east as from the west. That's true. But God is looking to see what you're doing with what you've been given. And what you've been given is grace. You've been given a new life, a new perspective. What are you doing with it? He watches that. And when you go to heaven and you're before him, he's going to go over those things. And here's what you did. And, you know, sometimes, I expect that we'll even get to see, and here's what came of it. You know, those of you who are in children's ministry, and, you know, you have those kids, and you're like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen there. And then down the road, you know, you get to heaven, and that kid is now there, and it's because of what you did. A lot of, Roger was praying this morning as we were getting ready, and he said, I just pray for those people who aren't getting thanked for the things that they're doing. And that's a really important thing, because we're built to want to receive that. But we need to know that on the other side, God is paying attention. He's paying attention right now to everything that we do, and he knows the results of it. No thing is too small. He said, you know, that person who gives somebody a glass of cool water, that is service to him. These things are all so important. So we need to focus on that aspect, serving God in any way that we can. We're not all gifted with the same things. I'm not gifted to move around up here. I'm certainly not gifted to dance. When we were at James and Melissa's wedding and I had to dance with my wife, got to dance with my wife. I'm going to pay for that one. She said, just move your feet. And I can do that. I can move my feet. It was no Fred Astaire kind of thing, but, you know, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed dancing with her, and nobody paid attention. Nobody cared. It was good. Thanks, guys. So what do we do with the things that we have? Do you hold things with an open hand? Do you have a generous heart? The things that you have, is it ready to be used in service to God? Are you using your time to serve others? Are you using your house, your money, whatever, to serve God as he calls for you? It's, you know, we get hung up on money and the rich people. You know what? Everybody in this room, in comparison, we're rich. You know, you look at the rest of the world, and, you know, that's, for me, looking at our partnership with those in the Congo and seeing what they've got, or, you know, really what they don't have. And they are so on fire for Jesus. It's just, to me, it's inspiring, because I go into my kitchen, I turn on the tap, and cool, clear water comes out every single time. We've lived in that house for 20 years. Every time I've turned the tap on, water has come out. That's amazing. Other parts of the world, that doesn't happen. So, it's, you know, let's not get hung up on who's rich and who's not. Well, I'm not rich because I don't make that much money. Well, we're all rich, and we've been given what we have from Jesus. So we need to look at our stuff that we do have. Is it a distraction? Are we being distracted from the mission that Jesus has for us? All right, let's move on to the next passage, because this one's kind of tough. You know, you could have gone from that first section to the last section. It's all fine. But now we're talking about an unhealthy eye. And that's just a little odd. And I didn't get it. I mean, literally, I didn't know exactly what they were talking about. So I looked it up, and John Piper gave a sermon on this. Actually, the whole passage on giving, but in this passage, he explained that eye. And he used the parable of the vineyard in Matthew 20. So in that parable, Jesus talks about a man who had a vineyard, and he needed workers to come in and pick the grapes. So he sends his manager out, go get the grape, or go get the people to pick. So he goes down to the unemployment office or wherever they hung out. And he got a wagon load of people, I guess. I don't know. Whoever was available, and said, come pick. We'll pay you a denarius for the day of picking. They're like, okay, that's fair. We'll come pick. So He does that. Middle of the day, the master says, you know what, we need more people. Go get more people. So the manager goes out, gets more people, brings them in. Comes back, they're working. Day's getting towards the end. You know what, we still need more people. So he goes and gets more people. And they come in and they work. Well, the day ends, say 6 o'clock. And the master says, pay everyone a denarius. Well, the people who got there late, they're getting a denarius. People got there in the middle, they're getting a denarius too. And the people who got there at the beginning and were offered a denarius for a day's work, they got a denarius. And they're like, well, that's not fair. I was here all day. I should get more. They should get less. And the master says, in most translations, we read, I don't have it up there, sorry. We read, are you grumbling because I'm generous? Are you jealous? And in the original translation, it uses the same words that are in Matthew 6, which is your eye unhealthy? Okay, what are they talking about? Is your eye unhealthy? And what Jesus is saying is, do you not see the grace that you've been given? You have been given the greatest gift ever. You don't deserve it at all, but I'm giving you grace. I am giving you eternal life, and you did nothing to earn that. And so if your eye is healthy, you see that grace that Jesus has given us. You see the promises that he's given us. You see this new life that we have in him. And that changes how you see everything. So if your eye is healthy, if you can see that grace, that beauty in what God has done for us, your eye is healthy. And that changes everything that you see. There's still the difficulties, there's still the problems, there's still the bad things that are in this world because of the sin that has caused that. But you see the grace of God's redemption through that. So without God, we're in darkness. We can't see the light that is God. And really, do you need more of a illustration of that than turning on the news today? I mean, the world is out there saying what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right. And Christians, what you believe, well, that's just wrong. That's discriminatory. You can't believe that. Well, how can Jesus be the only way? There's so many ways. And you know what? Jesus wasn't even a prophet. He wasn't even he's not God. That's what the world is saying to us today. They are in darkness. They can't see the grace that God has given us. Now, 1 Corinthians 3 talks about this in verse 18. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. Nothing's changed. It's still the same thing. We're still caught in that darkness of our own wisdom. But with God's help, he changes that. Now, I like the next verse I'm going to share. It doesn't really have anything to do with this, but I just thought it was really funny, very appropriate. It's talking about looking to leaders. In verse 21, it says, so then no more boasting about human leaders! Exclamation point. You think there's a solution in the people that we're looking to for change? There's not. There's only one solution, and it's Jesus. So let's go to the last section. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, or oftentimes mammon. Mammon being a word that was used as a negative connotation of money, wealth, material possessions. Randy Alcorn in The Treasure Principle. I also looked at him for the treasure part in heaven because he wrote a great book on heaven. But in The Treasure Principle, he wrote, I'm convinced that the greatest deterrent to giving is this. The illusion that earth is our home. Our perspective that this is all that matters. This is not all that matters. Jesus is what matters. Bringing people into his kingdom is what matters. And for whatever reason, he chose to work through us. And that's a great thing. It's a great privilege. It's a huge responsibility. He has asked us to be a part of his plan. Now, another thing that I saw in this, Martin will get to this in a while when he gets to verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Five years ago, I didn't have a job. And I didn't have a job for a long time. And it was not a fun time because even though this is not my permanent home, it's my home right now, and I've got a wife and kids, and, you know, we got to provide. So I was, you know, looking for a job. And every Sunday, Gene Davies, he would come up to me, "You got a job yet? I'm praying for you. You're next." And I love Gene. I just absolutely loved him because he was so faithful. I knew he was praying for me. And every Sunday, he was there. And I didn't know what to say to him because when I was reading through the Bible and trying to see what God had for me, I came up with this. And when I was looking for this, John Piper wrote the exact words that I came up with, which was, God will supply everything you need to do his will and his righteousness. Not my will, not my righteousness, his. So if he wants me to do it, he will make sure that I have what I need to do it. And that's a whole 180 degree different focus. It's not about what I can do on my own power. It's what God can do for me and through me. So, if you're a Christian, Jesus is saying in this passage, he wants you to make a see change. See things differently. See the stuff that's here on this earth as temporary. It's going to go away with this earth when the time comes. Some of it's going to go away tomorrow. Some of it will go away today. Some of it you may be driving down the road and it just dies. But people are eternal. They're the only thing that matters. And whatever you're doing in this body to support the ministry of this church, if it's planting things out there, if it's preaching up here, if it's serving on committees, the board, whatever. Jesus looks at all of these things and he looks at it and says, faithful, faithful, faithful. And he's keeping track of that. And he's going to bring it to your attention when you come face to face with him, and he's going to say, you were faithful. And you know what? Here's what happened because of it. And here's what I want to give you in addition to being in my kingdom. Those things will endure. Everything else, it's not going to endure. It's going to get burned up. It's just not going to last. So see the grace of God. It's all around you. We live in a beautiful area. We have the mountain. When it's out, it's beautiful. We have this wonderful earth that he's given to us. It's messed up right now because of sin, but you can see his imprint everywhere. It endures. And when you look at your own life and you know that I'm going to heaven, I know that my family's going to heaven, that's grace. That is beautiful, beautiful grace. So see who you serve. You don't serve Martin. You don't serve your boss. You're serving Jesus. I mean, he tells you, when you're working, work as if you're working for me, not as if you're working for man, but you're working for me. You are an example of me in everything that you do. And sometimes when I'm really bored at work, it's hard to remember, okay, I need to stay focused and I need to keep plugging away, even if I don't like doing what I'm doing. because I'm not working for this person. I'm not working for this task. I'm working for Jesus, and he wants me to do the best that I can in everything. And the other thing is, well, so if you're a Christian, make these changes. This is what Jesus is telling us to do. Here's how he wants us to live out our lives. But if you're not a Christian, or if you don't see the light, if you only see darkness, pray and ask Jesus to be your light, to illuminate that grace that's out there that he has given. And he wants you to have. He died so that you could have that grace. So if you don't have that saving knowledge of Christ, come see one of the elders, see Martin, you know, find somebody, you know, me or, you know, just find somebody and pray with them. There's nothing magical about finding that other person and praying with them, but they can help you in understanding what it means to be a Christian. And at the end of things, that's all that matters. It's it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for his radical message of grace and love and just changing our perspective. Lord God, I just pray that we would see things as you want us to see them. Help us to make that change in our lives. Lord, for those that don't know you, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work with them, work on them to draw them to you. And Lord, we just ask these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Dan. You know, I couldn't help but sit there and just think, man, it is amazing how in life so many things come down to perspective. Like, I've been meeting with mentors for, I don't know, probably 8 years now on an almost weekly basis. And really what it comes down to when I meet with them is I'm going to them for their perspective. And they help me also to see God's perspective. And I was talking to a lady, and she told me the story about how she was serving in a children's ministry. And there was this one little kid that she just could not stand because he just was bouncing off the walls, just could not behave, and was just, she just almost had this hatred for this little kid. And one day during a prayer time, the little boy said, can we pray for my daddy? I haven't seen him in over a year. He's over in Afghanistan. And her perspective changed on that little boy. And the interesting thing is that from that point on, that little boy became one of her favorite kids, and his behavior actually improved, and like just everything went better because of perspective. Anyway, and I think that what, if I can just sum everything up, that what Dan is saying is God is always trying to help us to see his perspective, and sometimes I think we fight it. But as we seek to see his perspective on things, it's like a whole nother world of opens up to us, and a whole nother world of joy opens up to us as we seek his perspective.